Leprosy is a scourge we read about in the Bible, but does it still exist today? Yes, and it's reported that 200,000 new cases were added in 2016 alone, mostly in India. One of the goals of Gospel for Asia is to combat leprosy in the name of Christ. This was a group founded by Dr. K.P. Yohanan. His son is Dr. Danny Yohanan, and he joins us now to discuss the issue of leprosy and what Christians are doing to combat it. And I should add that Dr. Danny Yohanan, our guest, is the Vice President of Gospel for Asia. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Dr. Yohanan, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you.
It is very good to be here. To let you know that, you know, I don't have a doctorate, but my father does have a doctorate. But I have gone to theological education and continue to learn and grow. But it is a privilege to be here with you.
Okay. Oh, somewhere in your literature, I thought I saw the word doctor, but no. Okay. That's only in reference to your dad. All right. So leprosy, we thought, you know, kind of ended, sometime in the late Middle Ages or something like that, but it's still with us in the world today.
Yeah, you know, it's quite interesting. Most of us, especially in the West, we're kind of either unaware of it or it just is not in front of us, so it doesn't really register. You know, I remember talking to my mother, who is from Germany, and she was born just after the war. And she said she remembers people in her village who had, you know, polio, yellow fever, and measles, and people that died. And myself growing up, that was never in front of me, and I didn't see it. So I just assumed that doesn't exist. And the same thing with leprosy. Many places around the world, it still exists. Maybe not so much in the West, and so for most of us, we kind of think it's this old, ancient, biblical disease, you know, mm-hmm. that Jesus came to heal, and you know the story of Naaman and this kind of thing. But the reality is, to a certain percentage, it was eradicated, and from some countries, it was eradicated. But what most people don't know is there still are cases that pop up in the West here and there. Mm-hmm. They just renamed it. They don't call it leprosy; they call it Hansen's disease. And so one of the reasons why they change the name, or it's kind of used by the official name, is because the word leprosy, it terrifies people and scares people, and there's a social stigma with it. So if someone picks up a medical chart and they see Hansen's disease, they wouldn't assume the worst. But, you know, you pick up a chart, you know, and it says leprosy, then it's like, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? And so you are absolutely correct. It's not in front of us. We're kind of unaware of it. But it is not eradicated in the way that we think that it doesn't exist anymore. There's many countries and many, many thousands of people that have leprosy or contracted leprosy, and they just suffer deeply through these things.
Mm. Is it treatable? So in other words, if the right medicine can be given at the right time and so forth, is this something that can be cured?
You know, it's interesting that, you know, leprosy back in the Bible times and then onwards for quite a long time was the uncurable disease. And it's one of those things that only God could cure. And we see that very few times in the Old Testament. And then when Jesus started healing some of the lepers, people thought, okay, this is something incredible because only God can heal leprosy. By God's grace and through medical advances, there are cures for leprosy. If people catch leprosy in some of the earlier stages, they can take medication which can stop it, can halt it, and can completely, really just make the person not contagious anymore. What the medication can't do is if they got injured through having leprosy some damages to their body, the medication can't repair those damages, but it can stop the leprosy, it can stop them from being contagious, and it can prolong their life as a normal person. The difficulty is in many of these cultures that we work in, it's a shame-oriented culture. The West is very guilt-oriented, but, you know, in the East, it's very shame-oriented. So if you have leprosy, you don't tell anyone, you don't go to the doctor, you keep it a secret. The family keeps it hush-hush, and because of that, people often wait such a long time to the point where it's too late or too far advanced for people to be seriously treated. And part of it is just the shame that keeps people from getting the medications they need soon enough, and so then they end up in leprosy colonies or kind of hidden away where people don't see them to shame their families.
Yeah. Now, if somebody already has leprosy and then they end up in a leprosy colony, it's not like they can get worse, or can they? Are there degrees of it? How does that work?
You know, there was I can't remember the other author's name, but there's a book called The Gift of Pain, and the authors, one is a doctor, and the authors actually talked about how the doctor discovered what causes people with leprosy or leprosy patients to lose their fingers and limbs and different things. And people assume that leprosy causes limbs to fall off, but in fact, it's the bacterial attack that destroys the nerves. And so, like when we walk and we have a pebble or a stone in our shoe, our foot hurts and we stop walking, we take the pebble out, and then we put our shoe back on. Someone that has the disease of leprosy, their nerve endings are being killed, and they don't feel pain. And so they would walk and walk and walk and walk, and that stone would put a hole through their foot eventually.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where they injure themselves. And so it's not necessarily the leprosy that causes limbs to fall off. It's the leprosy that kills their ability to have sensation and feeling, and then they injure themselves, burn themselves, cut themselves, hurt themselves, and they lose limbs that way. And so one of the things that happens in a leprosy colony is there is possibility of people helping them and tending to their needs in a way that's not shameful or degrading. And so, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters, especially the Sisters of Compassion, are working there to clean their wounds, help take care of their kids, clean their houses, and just bring and restore dignity to their life. And so, you know, with treatment and help, you know, they can live a longer time. Oftentimes, those that are living in leprosy colonies, it's just a very sad, depressing situation. But then there are those who, you know, come to know the Lord and have become part of the worshiping community, and their life is filled with joy, even though they have leprosy.
Isn't that interesting? By the way, you used that phrase, the gift of pain. You said there was a book with that title. That is an interesting thing. You know, we think about pain as something we always want to avoid, but obviously in this example of leprosy, the pain that we experience is what keeps us from putting our hand on a burning stove. And I've heard stories about, you know, where lepers, for example, might have their hand on a burning stove, and then they smell something, and then they look down, oh, you know, and that's how they lose their fingers and so forth. But pain is part of God's design, certainly in this fallen world, but pain is actually, it has a place to keep us from, you know, going too far over the edge, you know. So there's a spiritual lesson in that, too, I think.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is, we experience consequences for our own actions, which teach us lessons. And, you know, I often ask, you know, why doesn't God take our memories away of, you know, our failures and sins, especially when he forgives us? I mean, if he wipes it all, you know, clean, it's east from the west, what about our memories? But at the same time, that means he would wipe the memories of his grace and forgiveness and mercy towards us. And so, even failures and pains do teach us very powerful lessons of the very nature of God and how he responds to us. But that book, you know, The Gift of Pain, Philip Yancey and Dr. Paul, they co-authored this book together. It's a very powerful book that talks about how Dr. Paul experienced discovering the effects of leprosy in a child where he, exactly what you said, in a situation where the child injured himself, not even realizing his hand was bleeding. Wow. Because of injury. But, you know, the biggest challenge in the places where we serve is people feel so much shame, and shame and the stigma affects them and their family and, you know, their loved ones. And it's just such a difficult thing. But the real, true answer is when people find dignity in Christ, to find value. And this is something that's very biblical and often we miss in the West. You look at the accounts of Christ in the Gospels, and he didn't just forgive people's sin, he actually took their shame away. Whether it was the woman at the well, or it was the tax collector, or the leper, or the woman caught in adultery, he literally, by his words and actions, took their shame away and restored dignity. And so that is what we do. Our heart and our passion is to bring Christ to people who need him, but then at the same time, to help them and restore their dignity in a way that they know that they're loved and that they're not shamed.
Yeah. Now, your dad, Dr. K.P. Yohanan, the founder of Gospel for Asia, he said this in reference to leprosy: eliminating discrimination and false conceptions of leprosy is key to eliminating the disease itself. All too frequent are the stories of men and women abandoned by their spouses, in-laws, or even kicked out of their homes by their children. By serving these precious people who happen to be afflicted with leprosy, we are not doing anything extraordinary or special. We're simply extending the love that was first given to us. Your comments on that?
You know, it's so true. It's, again, like I mentioned, in many of these places, people assume that it's because of some sin or some curse that was put upon them that they contracted this disease, and now they're paying the penalty of it. And especially in some of the other Eastern religions, you know, it's their karma, it's their part of their reincarnation of working out towards a better life. And the reality is, what we do in the name of Christ is simply responding to Christ's love towards us and extending that same love towards others. I mean, think about it. We're dealing with a physical disease, but, you know, we also were dealing with a broken life and a marred relationship with God. And Jesus came to restore and heal us from that brokenness. And what are we doing? We're extending that same healing towards others in a physical way and praying that God would use that to touch their hearts so that they also may experience this healing of their life, so that they can spend eternity with the Lord also in a completely new and complete body.
Okay, now going back to India for a second, you say that that there are about 200,000 new cases that were reported in 2016. So this is an ongoing problem, obviously. We have about a minute and a half left. How does this actually get caused? Is it obviously it's a contagious disease?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a bacterial infection, and as with all bacterial infections, it happens probably through cuts and different, you know, ways that we catch bacterial infections. But, you know, there's as long as those that are being treated by medical doctors or like the Sisters of Compassion, you think about Mother Teresa, her entire life, she was treating lepers and taking care of them. Mm. So it's something that, you know, unfortunately, some people catch a little easier and some people don't. But the reality is, you know, those that are treating them, even if they were to catch leprosy, there's medications there and they can quickly deal with it. But the main problem is not the contraction of the disease, even though there's thousands of new cases. The problem is it's a shame, therefore it's hidden away, and then people in the family catch leprosy. That's why they're kind of kicked out of their homes and put into these leprosy colonies, because they know that the family members can't display it publicly, and by hiding them in the home, there's a greater risk of catching it. And so it's just a compounding problem of people being hidden away in the homes and then other family members catching it. And it's just this massive, shameful problem.
Well, people can get more information at your website, gfa.org. Thank you so much for being with us. Obviously, by the way, in that example with Mother Teresa, you know, yes, it's contagious, but she didn't die of leprosy, and she worked with lepers, so she therefore was able to get the treatment necessary to keep her from getting that. Again, thank you for being with us. GFA.org for more information. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you so much. My privilege.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now.